Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hypnotic Healers. I'm Nicole Mazzucato. And as always, I'm here with my friend and co-host, Anthony Gitch, who's all the way over there. Our usual disclaimer before we get started, neither Anthony nor I are licensed medical professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists, or anything of the sort, so don't make any changes or alterations to any medications or treatments you're on based on the conversation you hear here today. Take what you like, leave the rest. And while you're leaving stuff, share us around, leave us a like, a love, a really great review, a message, get in touch, say hey, and join the conversation. Hello, my friend.
Hello. How are you this week there?
I'm very well. How are you?
I am very fine, thank you.
Loving very the fine, new digs. Thank you. Loving the new digs, of course, you've moved.
Loving the new digs. And I'm super excited because, well, I'm not super excited, but I think it's I'm super excited to be talking about procrastination today. we are going to be talking about procrastination.
Procrastination, for those of you that don't need it in slow motion.
Yes. I think it is a dilemma that many people carry around with them, a burden that they carry with them. And you know, last week we were talking about change is easy, and you made the statement that, you know, we throw around this idea that people make, it's too often that they've made a choice to be unhappy and they made choices to do this. Well, when it comes to procrastination, sorry, this is one of those times.
This is one of those times.
This is a choice. is choosing to do something other than what needs to be done for whatever reason, right?
Yeah. Because
there's all sorts of reasons we procrastinate. One, we don't like the task that's ahead of us because we just don't want to do it. We don't feel comfortable. We don't feel adequate in doing the task. And so rather than facing it, we just kind of keep putting it off until we think that we're going to be ready for it, right?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of ways that we can employ procrastination in our lives to achieve all sorts of no good ends.
I've noticed in myself over the past few months that if I don't have enough to do, I procrastinate on the few things that are there to do. It's it's almost like I need that extra little bit of pressure to be like, oh, okay, cool. I've got enough to do that. Like, it's going to keep me busy and really kind of focused for a few hours rather than it's just like, oh, two or three little things. And I can just find bigger and more interesting things to do than those little tasks.
Those little things that just need to be resolved and out of the way. And yes, that's one of the reasons that I am a list maker. Because if I have a list, then yes, but I actually check mine off.
Yes, so do I.
I know a lot of people just make them and right. then they just add to it. In fact, I found this great little tool. I'm not a big Microsoft fan, but I found Microsoft's To-Do, their little app called To-Do. And I actually really like that one.
And it makes a little cha-ching when you take it off.
but the list is just like super long because I'm like, well, okay, I haven't gotten that done. And when I sit here and I'm thinking, God, I really don't have much to do today. And I'm like, look at all of the stuff I have to do. But it's like what you're saying. This stuff isn't fun. This stuff is, you know, it's... And so, yeah, I think there's all sorts of reasons that we find that we can... that we can find to procrastinate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, overwhelm is another one, right? When you find a task too overwhelming, procrastination is a really great kind of avoidance technique. Oh, well, this is too big and too much for me for my, you know, and it's the crew members, isn't it? They're going, oh my God, how are we going to ever, it's that mountain molehill thing, right? I'm standing in front of Mount Everest. How am I ever going to get to the top rather than just looking straight in front of me? And okay, all I really need to do is take the first step. Or at least, you know, start moving.
Sometimes you don't feel adequate enough to move forward. And so we find other things to do to distract ourselves from what needs to be done. Sometimes for some people, that means going out and get training after training after training after training before actually stepping into running a practice.
Well, as you say that, imposter syndrome could be a form, imposter syndrome, potentially, there's a link there between imposter syndrome and procrastination. I can see it in my mind.
I can see it in my mind,
but I can't put it into words yet.
Well, no, because what do people who experience imposter syndrome, what is their experience, but not feeling adequate, like they are not supposed to be where they are, not supposed to be receiving the adulation that they're receiving. And so rather than stepping into it and owning it. So, yeah, I mean, in a way, I can see how they would be associated because then they can. But, I don't know. That's an interesting.
Yeah, so I can see a link in my mind, but I can't quite put it into words yet. But as you were saying that, doing course after course after course after course, that definitely feels procrastinating on, rather than putting yourself out there and marketing yourself and talking about, what you do and doing how you can help people. Rather than actually doing it, you're putting it off because you feel like an imposter, right? You don't feel like you've got enough of the skills, experience, qualifications, whatever it is, like certificates on your wall to say that you can be the person to do this thing.
That's the person that can help person X make it to their destination, right?
Right.
What authority do I have, right? Yeah, it is interesting because there's a lot of folks out there. I'm like, you've got it because of just the fact you've lived life, right? Mm. And a lot of things, that's all that's necessary in order to guide other people is your own experience. For one thing, that's all we can really build anything off of is our own experiences. We can read, we can have comprehension of things, but that doesn't always provide us with a truth of a situation.
Mm. Yeah, of course. Every hypnotist, hypnotherapist, therapist, coach, whatever, everybody's bringing in their life skills, their life experience, and the part of themselves that they bring into how they treat people, how they connect with people, how they express themselves and create the space that feels comfortable for the other person to also express themselves and share often very, very intimate and parts of themselves that they wouldn't normally share. And that's definitely something that you bring from your own life experience and the skills that you built up in life. So look, procrastination, I think for me, if something means enough to you, you'll make the time to do it. Right. If it doesn't, if you're doing something that feels meaningless or that you really don't want to. So there's definitely a strategy slash technique that you start your day with the things that you least want to do. Right. The things that are most kind of that you're procrastinating, that you would procrastinate over the most, the things that you really don't dislike doing, do those first, get them out the way. And then the other tasks that you enjoy doing, you've got the rest of the day then to know that you're going to be dedicating it to other tasks that you do enjoy doing. So that's definitely one strategy to help with procrastination. If you some people like making lists, some people don't like making lists. And I think you need to find the way that works for you. So I can share techniques and strategies and things that have worked for me and that haven't worked for me. And I'll always encourage a client to go away and try things out and see what works for them and be innovative as well.
Right.
See what best works for them, because what might work for one client is not going to necessarily work for another in terms of strategies and techniques that I'm going to offer them as part of the process of working together.
Right. And I mean, well, like for me, my strategy for when I work with people, I try to give them the tools that I have used that have been successful with me.
Mm.
Right. I mean, because that's all that we can do. So for me, like I said, I'm a list maker and I put everything on my calendar. right? If I have it on my calendar and it says that I'm supposed to be doing this between 7:30 and 8, usually I'm pretty good at keeping to that, right?
But that also requires a level of self-discipline. And if you're a procrastinator, the one thing that you lack is self-discipline.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe you're right.
Total, but there's definitely an element of self-discipline lacking if you're procrastinating doing certain tasks.
Yeah, you're right. That lack.
So it's great to say schedule stuff in your calendar and make sure that that's there at that time, that's there at that time. But you could just schedule that, spend a day scheduling that so you don't have to do the other tasks. And then you've got this whole calendar scheduled. And when it gets to it, you're like, yeah.
Month is planned.
Oh, I've got 9 o'clock in the morning. I have to do this, but I'm just going to go and do the other thing first.
Right. I'll get this done thing. It's supposed to be done at 3 o'clock, done right now. And that way I'll do this one at 9 o'clock then. And yeah. That's true. Yeah. Because, and that's the one thing I about just having a list, because I can go through the list and what do I want to get done now? Because there are things that, quite frankly, like you said, I know that I need to get done, but because they're tasks that I don't enjoy doing, they haven't been done yet. And the oftentimes, so for me, the way to get those things done is self-shaming.
Helpful, very helpful.
It's like, dude, come on now. Would you want your clients? I'll ask myself that. What would you do if a client was doing this? And it's like, all right, you better get that shit done, because how can I lead somebody through a thicket if I myself haven't walked through the thicket and know the path? You know, I mean, at least for this sort of thing, right? I mean, if I can't make myself do it, how can I encourage and inspire others, right? Because I ultimately, in the work that we do, we're inspiring other people to move past those things that make them uncomfortable, right?
I'm thinking about, you know, my own experiences with procrastination and how I've taught myself, have trained myself to overcome it. And I'm thinking of, you know, examples even before I had anything to do with hypnosis or hypnotic work. And I remember I was studying a postgraduate diploma quite a few years ago. And I was terrified of the idea of going back into kind of formal education, because it had been a long time. My experience at university hadn't been that great, because it had been a real struggle. And I was left with this idea of, like, I can't process information properly. I really struggle to read and this, that, and the other. And I really wanted to do this diploma. And I really kind of forced myself to sit down and start reading, like, months before the diploma started. I picked up a whole, like, I had a bunch of books that I knew were going to be helpful for this diploma. And I sat down and opened this first book. And even if my mind was like wondering, oh, go make a cup of tea, oh, go and do this, I was like, nope, I'm going to sit here for an hour or whatever it is, and I'm going to read this book. And as soon as my mind started wondering, I'd be like, nope, come back, you know, come back to the page. Focus. So essentially what I was doing was talking to my crew members, right? And saying, no, we're not going there. We're coming back here. And because I made such a conscious effort to do that, essentially what I was training myself and hypnotizing myself into, you know, reprogramming my mind. And actually I became a really effective reader through doing that, and was able to get through my postgraduate diploma with loads of information before I even started that I wouldn't have been able to have accumulated if I'd have started later on. So I set myself up for a really, you know, strong start to the diploma.
And that's the best way to sometimes do. But, you know, it's interesting that you talk about the fact that you had all those voices in your head pulling you other directions, those crew members who were, their strategy in order to keep you safe and keep you comfortable was, don't do it.
Right. To keep move you away from the pain of, oh, but reading in this format is painful because I linked it to a painful experience. Right. So in order to avoid that, and it's going to require so much, you know, concentration and effort to concentrate, let's just go and do any other thing that's completely irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And you can do any other time. Right. It's that moving you away from pain and towards something that's more pleasant and pleasurable. So essentially what I'm saying is you can totally train yourself out of procrastinating. You can train yourself out of any behavior, which is what essentially we're talking about with hypnosis anyway, right? But you can absolutely do it to yourself. Self-hypnosis, self, you know, talking to yourself, training yourself, going through the difficult, that, you know, the painful activity of refraining from doing what's familiar and comfortable to then pushing yourself to doing what's unfamiliar and less comfortable. And I think of the podcast, Glennon Doyle's podcast called We Can Do Hard Things. And although I'm not, you know, I'm not an avid listener of the podcast, I like the title and it often comes to my mind when I find myself moving towards things that are more pleasant and easier rather than the thing that's a bit more challenging. And I'm like, nope, we can do hard things. I can do hard things and let's move towards the harder thing. Because usually the harder things mean more to you anyway, right?
Right. And I mean, another part of that is sometimes it's not even, it's a matter of, like you were saying, if it's something that you, that is close to your heart, that you're interested in, those sorts of things, you're going to tend not to procrastinate as much. So I think that one of the things that we can help people when it comes to this is how can people learn to engage more in those things, because when they're engaging more in those things, I believe we're more fulfilled overall anyway, whether it's in our work, right? I mean, it's like, that's why the parts of the work that even you and I do, when we've had many, many discussions, right, about even social media stuff, it's like, that's not my favorite part of the work. And so it's the part that oftentimes gets neglected. Right. Mm-hmm. It is an important part, but it is a neglected part because of how much I'm just so uninterested in social media. I mean, if I never had to log on to Facebook again, I would be totally okay with that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I just personally, I've got no use for it. It doesn't act as a benefit to my life, except for on a professional basis. As a way to interact with people and a way for people to get to know me, right? But beyond that, you know, are they really getting to know you anyway on that? But that's not about procrastination.
But then that's the whole point, you know, when you've got something like that to do and you really dislike doing that, if you do that first thing and you get that out the way and just like, okay, well, that's done. Now I can get on with the rest of my day and do things that I do actually enjoy doing, then you've proven to yourself that I can do the hard thing. And actually the hard thing becomes a lot easier if I do it every day. And then it kind of moves up along the categories of things that I don't mind doing. And then actually right. I might end up enjoy doing it.
Right. And it's like, and there are aspects of social media that I enjoy. I love the creative part of it. I love going on Canva and creating all sorts of great little things on Canva, right? That's the great part. I could spend hours doing that. But again, that is also then creating procrastination for doing the rest of it. Mm. Because, you know, you've got all these great posts, but then you've got to create all the content that goes with all those great posts, right? And then do all of this. And, so it's like you can even within particular projects have aspects that you love and then aspects that you procrastinate on. I've got a whole folder full of a year's worth of freaking social media things, but what am I going to do with them?
There's a great TED talk by a guy called Tim Urban, who has a very well-known blog called Wait But Why. I can't remember what the TED talk is called. It's up there in the top 10 TED talks of all time, talking about procrastination. Oh, what was it? It's got procrastination in the title. I just can't remember what it's called. It's very, very funny. He's very well presented, and I highly recommend watching it because it's just a great use of 20 minutes of your time. It's informative, entertaining, and
what's it called? Just so we can make sure we get people out there again.
I can't remember the name of it, but his name is Tim Urban, and it's a TED talk around procrastination.
Okay. Well, Tim Urban, that will help right there. People will be
He's very well known, Tim Urban. Right on. I'd be surprised if some of our listeners didn't know him. But yeah, very, very well known and a great TED talk to have a look at. But I think coming back to, you know, what we're talking about before, meaning and how much something means to you has a lot to do with procrastination. I think if you can really see the benefit of what you're doing, long term, short term, whatever, if this is something that you've really chosen to engage in, if something that you know is really going to have an impact or get you something or move you closer to something that means a lot to you, you'll find the way to cut out all and any distractions. You'll find the way to focus.
Yep. Well, I mean, isn't that the same with anything in our lives when we want to change mm-hmm. anything? When it becomes painful enough, right? And this is almost that same sort of idea. You know, I mean, everything. Human beings are funny that way, aren't we?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
When it becomes painful as we possibly can, and
right, because not doing it creates so much pain. Eventually, you know, not doing it creates so much pain that you'll just dive in and do it.
Yeah.
Another technique that I learned, which was really helpful, is automate, eliminate, or delegate. So if you look at your list of things to do, and also if you've had something on your list of things to do that's been there for too long, just get rid of it because you're clearly not going to do it. So just, you know, just rub it off the list. If it's been there and it's just popping up and it just keeps, you know, nagging you.
Obviously, it's not that important.
It's not important. Yeah, it's obviously not important enough. So just get rid of it. But the idea of, you know, and that's the eliminate side of it, isn't it? Let's look at the list. Let's look at all of these things that I think I need to do or that I want to do. And whatever has been there for too long, or actually I just don't want to do it, let's just get rid of it and just take that off my mind as a weight of something. Oh, I've got to do this thing. I've got to do this thing. Well, okay, you don't actually have to do any of it, right? It's all a choice whether you do it or don't. It's whether it's important enough to you or not to do it. So if it's not important,
sit there
just
and
get
look
it off
at
the
that
list.
Thing. Yeah, you're going to sit there and look at it and torture yourself and shame yourself each day I didn't get that done again. You're right. Just scrub it out, as you said.
Yeah. The other one is delegate. Can I give this task to somebody else or automate it? You know, make it just put it on an automatic, whatever it is, however you want to automate a task. And otherwise, if it doesn't fit into one of those three categories, then just fucking do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're always got such wise advice, Nicole.
Well, obviously.
Yeah, well, obviously. But, you know, and it's go ahead.
So I was going to ask, so you asked me before, so how do you help clients with procrastination?
Well, so, I mean, because obviously as a control practitioner, you know, I'm always looking to just speak to the crew member that is running the strategy that is protecting the person, because this is procrastination is about protection to one degree or another, right? And so it usually has to do with fear or something like that. And so once I do that, I'm always, you know, hey, do a list thing, automate things. If you can, get on there, get the Microsoft to do, get a little reminder thing, right? I always recommend that people get something that will remind them if they forget, right? It makes it much easier, particularly for people who aren't, I'm not going to say they're not ready, because all adults are ready. People who don't want to take on the added responsibility of being responsible for themselves quite yet to 100%. And so they are going to forget things as also another means or a tool as procrastination, right? And so that's why I say automate, get something that's going to remind you, have something in front of you. And so, that's basically it. I'm going to go for those tools. I'm going to find out what is it going to drive that person to get those things done? What is the important things that are behind this? Right.
Yeah.
And let's focus on that and focus on what the return is on those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's the driver, the motivation behind those things? And is that driver and motivation linked enough to an emotion that's going to pull you forward?
Right.
When you think about and this is where I think things like vision boarding is really helpful. So I was used to teach at a very prestigious university here. And I remember students of mine struggling, really struggling, and they had a really high dropout rate in the, especially in the first year, because it was so demanding, the university. And I remember quite a few students, one in particular, telling me how much he was struggling, and he was struggling to study and struggling to focus. And I sort of said to him, look, put together a vision board of, you know, what is it that you're hoping to achieve from getting this degree? Why are you even here? You know, why are you at this university? Get it clear in your mind. You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for any other professors or teachers. You're not doing it for your parents. What's your motivation and driver for being here?
Right.
And create this kind of image and stick it on your wall just above your computer. So you've got it there. So every time you're studying and every time, you know, you're writing an essay, whatever it is that you're doing, or things feel a bit hard, you can keep referring back to your motivations for doing this. What's it going to give you in life? How's it going to, you know, push you forward, or whatever that is? And that will kind of remind you, it's an anchor, isn't it? At the end of the day, a vision board is an anchor. You've poured all of your feelings and desires into that vision board so that it becomes this anchor for when things are difficult, you can go back to it and say, okay, right, I can tap into that feeling again. Now I'm excited, and now I've got the drive and motivation to do this thing that is difficult, challenging, unpleasant.
Right. And I remember one student, why I'm doing it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. It's just that sparks that kind of reminder. And I remember this one student in particular came back to me a couple of weeks later, or a few weeks later, whatever. And he said to me, do you know what? I did that thing we talked about, and it helped me so much. Like, it really got me through some really difficult, you know, tasks. And I just really appreciate having it there. So that's for me. You know, it's the meaning. What am I doing this for? If I don't know what I'm doing this for, if I'm working a job that I hate, or I'm, you know, working, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
That's the same when I run the Stress Busters workshop, that's the first question we always ask, you know, when you're doing something that's stressful, what is the meaning behind it? What is the meaning behind the task, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because when we find what the meaning is and why we're doing it, we can often remove the stress that's associated with it, because we have a better understanding of the why.
Yeah. Yeah. But the why, and that's it, isn't it? It's the why. It's the why that keeps you going. Because I've had incredibly stressful jobs in the past, like incredibly stressful, but I kept going because my why was being fulfilled on a massive level. So my why kind of just pushed through the stress, and kept me going.
Yeah. And for some people, that why is the fact that, oh my God, I've got a mortgage to pay.
Mm.
Right. So whatever that motivation is, there's motivation there. When we really look at the why we do the things that we do, when we can find the why behind it, the motivator, the need that's being met, that answers our questions, right?
On the subject of the why, I massively recommend Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, obviously. It's a brilliant, brilliant book. And if you haven't read it, I really recommend you do. If you want like an abridged version, go and watch his TED Talk. But the book is so much more than the TED Talk.
Right on. Right on. And on that note, I think we've again covered all the houses in the neighborhood today.
I think we've knocked on a few doors, but yeah,
a few doors for sure. But yeah, I mean, it is a deep conversation, because there's always something there that is going to help to motivate us to procrastinate. If our crew members, you know, if we're still running those survival strategies, then procrastination is going to be a part of anything that we do.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think one more thing that's coming to mind for me here is this a recurring behavior? So for example, in the case of a job, are you just finding yourself procrastinating, and that's a recurring behavior in any job you do? So in which case, looking at that behavior, I'm just kind of distracting myself and avoiding doing certain tasks because I don't like doing them? Or is it because I'm really, you know, just working jobs that mean nothing to me? Just like there is definitely a distinction there in the different drivers behind the procrastination. So definitely worth looking at that and doing some inquiry there.
Absolutely. I agree.
Cool. Okay. Well, thanks for joining. And we hope you found this episode useful. Drop us a note, drop us a message with your views and ideas and experiences with procrastination. And we'll love to hear from you. So we'll see you next week. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.